A very good morning to you. You would be excused thinking that we are still in the middle of winter for the last few days. But it's good to be in here, warmed by the love of God in our hearts and the fellowship that we have with each other. Today we mark a journey that I'd like to share with you. Over the next few weeks, I want to, not necessarily every Sunday, so don't worry, it's not going to be every Sunday, but we will look at in this area of mission and evangelism and outreach. And so today we mark the start of this particular season before Christ and the Advent season arrives. He has a mission, and so do we. The various readings that I have selected for today give us a glimpse of different aspects of this mission that we have been charged to engage in, to proclaim the good news, to reach out to others, to share with people around us, and to go to all nations. Before I talk a little bit more about what mission is about, and how we may be on a mission for God, let me share a little bit of my own experience in my journey and being on a mission trip. Some years ago, while I was serving in the Diocese of Singapore, I was part of an organization that we gave $100,000 to Lebanon. Why so? Because right at the border of Lebanon, there's a refugee camp. And it's filled with people from Syria and Iraq. And they escaped these countries. Of course, we are still very much aware of the conflict there were and there still is. But for them to come across to the border of Lebanon, they had to trek a very high mountain. Treacherous mountain before they could escape the conflict and the suffering. So there were two groups of people who arrived at the side of this country, Lebanon. And there were Iraqis and Syrians. Of course, they were different in their own ways and so on. So I was sent to take a team because we gave this large sum of money to see exactly what they have done with the money and how to take care of the people there. I'm sharing this because it's out of my own experience. Right? There are different kinds of mission field and mission trips that I will hopefully have opportunity to share that at other times. So we were there to see what they have done with the money, but also help to distribute some of the money that was useful to bring relief and so on. So I just want to share a little bit about my direct first-hand experience of the trip. Firstly, we had to fly from Singapore to Lebanon. It was the longest trip. And the airspace was dangerous because you don't know whether something gets shot up from ground and get hit. So people said, "Are you sure you want to go to Lebanon?" And I say, "Well, if I'm asked to do it, then I believe God will take care of me." So that was the first step. When we got there, of course, we were taken care of by the local agency and so on. Then we were told that we need to take a road trip into the camp because it's not where the city, where the major part is, but at the border. And they say that you must take your passport because that whole area is controlled by the military. And sometimes, you know how the military works, sometimes they feel that you should not go in there, you can't. So we don't know whether we will be able to go on a day, and we trust the Lord, and on the way we just pray. They said, "Yeah, God, open the door for us so that we can actually be there and see for ourselves the camp, the refugee camp." So we took our passport, and we didn't have any problem, right? We didn't have any problem to get through on that day. When we arrived there, we were taken to, we were first stopped at a place where there was a group of people who were particularly focusing on taking care of those refugees who may have handicaps, and many of them were children. Blind? You just imagine for an adult who can walk the treacherous mountain to come across safely, how difficult it was for the children who were blind and couldn't see and need somebody to help to bring them over. So we were there to minister to this group of children, and they were handicapped, blind, many of them were like that. And we worshiped, and I was able to preach through an interpreter. What struck me was that these children, wow, you should see them, they really could sing. Sing Christian songs, and they, many of them were blind, could not see. But it was just an amazing experience to feel that I was an able person, I was an adult, and yet they could really sing their heart out, worshiping God. And that was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Then after that, we were taken to the main camp. And then we see lines and lines of tents. Okay? At that point, because it was high altitude, I was already nicely wrapped up in jacket and woolies and everything. And I still felt cold. And when we walked through the camp, we saw children barefoot. All they had is just one skimpy shirt or something that wear. And there's no heat in any of these tents. So we were able to experience what it's really like to be living in the camp. And we asked, how long could these people be? And they said, well, they could stay there for 5 years or 10 years, who knows. Those fortunate ones may be relocated to other countries, maybe to New Zealand or to some other country. But many of them simply be growing up in those camps, not knowing what future may lie. So we were taking through looking at what they do and so on, and it was just, and the floor was simply muddy and wet. It's not nicely concreted or something like that. So that was the condition of the camp. So many Christians, many people there run help agency and so on to reach out those people. And so we spent time. And then we brought in a whole truckload of package and boxes that we can give out to the refugees. And so we were helping there and so on. And suddenly, almost towards the end, the local people said, "We've got to go. We've got to go." Why? Because somehow what happened is that these people are so desperate, they will storm the truck and try to grab whatever they could. And it was for our safety that they say, it's time to go, because if you hang around too long, it may not be safe. It's that kind of environment that these people live in. So we left them. And then we got back to our nice hotel room. We take it for a buffet dinner. I feel very, very, how can I put it? I feel kind of embarrassed, to say the least. Here I am, coming from a fairly wealthy, okay background, seeing what happened, and yet we're now enjoying the nice, warm, wet stuff, and then have a buffet dinner, and yet we see these people desperate. So it really is such a contrast, And at the end of it, when I had a debrief of the team, I would say, well, one thing that struck me is that while in other countries, like here and so on, we have people playing war games on video games and so on, shooting people, killing people. Yet we experience directly what it is like to be living in conflict and facing this kind of danger all the time. So I just want to share that with you, is that there are people out there that really, really desperately need help. Not just the physical help, but also the good news, as we went about preaching. And one of the evening, I was able to preach one to the Syrian people, one to the Iraqi. They don't mix them, for good reason, all right? And apparently the Iraqi, they were more Christian within that grouping rather than the Syrians. So I just want to share that a little bit with you. I guess privileged to have that experience of what it's like to be in those situations and to be part of the help that we could give to some of these people who are still suffering, right? That camp is still there in Lebanon. And there are people still coming over regularly. You know, it's almost like a mini city. It's like over 100,000 people in there. You know, what do you do with this large group of people? Suddenly come to your border. You know, and so the military had to step in and say that they don't flood the rest of Lebanon. So,
I just want to share that a little bit before I talk a little bit more about mission. Right. You know, dear brothers and sisters, what I see today is that we have professionalized many things that we do in our churches, and that include mission. You know, sometimes we feel that mission maybe is for the pastor to do, or for the church staff to do, or some of the pastoral team to do, or whatever. And that's what we pay them to do mission on our behalf. But I take a different view. I say that mission work is not just for professional missionaries. Not just for us to give some money to these people and help us to do mission. But mission need to be looked at in a wider context. Now, missionologist David Bosch, he said, mission is not primarily an activity of the church, but an attribute of God. God is a missionary God. I like that. God is a missionary God. So we don't say that, let us not say that, oh, I have done my part, or I have given some money, or it's time for someone else to take up the missionary work and so on. But I believe that all of us, whatever stages of our life we are in, we can still do some missionary work when opportunity arrives. And I'll talk a little bit more about some of that opportunity later. Every one of us can do something in the area of mission. We just need to ask one basic question. Is there a need that is not being met? And if we see that need and try to fulfill that need, then that is missionary work. That is my definition. So, we need to do it and we need to get involved. As someone else also said, God doesn't have a mission for the church. Heed it carefully. God doesn't have a mission for his church. He has the church for his mission. It is God's mission that we are engaged in. So let me quickly share a few points about mission. Firstly, God is always on a mission. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it says, God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why God is a missionary God. He wants everybody to come to know of his grace and his salvation. We are all call to share our faith in Jesus with others. That's why you're also a missionary in that sense. The second point is that what is our mission in life? And that's why I have the picture. We are on a journey for God's mission. What is our mission in life? We read that in the gospel reading today. We are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them. That is Jesus' last command given to his disciples. and for us today. That's often known as the Great Commission. We are on this Great Commission. We are to be the missionary for God. The third point is that how do we fulfill our mission? The places we can be productive is in our family, our friends, where we live, here and the rest of the world. We do so as we live our Christian faith out, as we share with others the truth of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will empower us, as we heard from the scripture, empower you, empower me, as we step out in faith. Just as my Lebanon trip, we have to trust God for protection, for care. We had to step out and do those things so that we can share our testimony with others and our faith in Christ. We need to have a correct view. Sometimes it is not for our, it is not our responsibility to convince, to convict, or put a guilt trip on people. Our job is just to share it. Sometimes it is the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of God that brings conviction. Often I talk with people about evangelism and say, don't worry whether you can bring that person to Christ or not. Just share the good news. Just sow the seed. Just tell that person about Jesus. The rest will come. God may send someone else to water the person, to plant. Our job maybe is just to sow the seed and to let them know about Jesus. So, we need to share the gospel message. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us and in the lives of others that we have planted those seeds. That is the work of a missionary. That is something all of us can do. And the last point is that do not feel unqualified for mission. You are a missionary in your own right. You can do mission work. And as whenever you share your faith with others, you are in mission. You are a missionary. With your family, your neighbors, your friends, co-workers, and even a bank teller or whoever you come across. At this point, let me do a bit of advertisement here. We started some work at Bhupur, and it's still in early stage of that work development. But I can sense that we are doing something good there, even though maybe just small things that we're beginning with. People appreciate for us to be there. Especially that people who are part of the care home side of things. They don't see too many people. They cannot get out so frequently. And they welcome opportunity for us to be with them and talk with them. Just the other day, one of the staff spoke with me after last time we were there and said, are there anybody in the church who could come and spend time with the people there? Just speak with them. Just talk with them. Even reminiscent, you know, and hear the story and so on. And I say, yeah, I'd like to pick it up. So here I am on a mission Sunday. If any of you can set aside some time to go to Bhupur and just spend half an hour or whatever hour just to talk with the people there. Alright? Share your life story with them and listen to their life story. And to be with them. So opportunity is aplenty that we could reach out to people. And you never know, by talking to that person, you can really make an impact on that person's life. And that's just the beginning, a starting point. So if you're interested, please talk to Liz or myself, that how we can start that part of the ministry.
just to be with the person. You know, sometimes you may just say, can I pray with you? Or can I just read you a psalm or something, you know? And then talk about other things as well. Opportunities are there for us to share. And that's the missionary work, I would say, that we can easily do that. Half an hour of your time. Just stand with these people. And they welcome it.
Believe me, they love. I was privileged also to went to Sprott House in Karori to do the Holy Communion there. I got roped into it because I'm part of the cluster that belongs to part of a Karori one. So again, you know, I was doing exactly what I did at Bupur as well, right? So people really, really love to have others to talk with them. So please. Right, let me bring this to a close, because otherwise I can go on and on and on. In conclusion, the brothers and sisters, we are on a mission for God. We have been doing that decades, and we need to continue with that work. We should not exist if no effort to pass on what we have received. In other words, it is our responsibility. We have already received the good news. It is our role, our responsibility to pass it on. And that needs to be built in as part of our existence. So Jesus' invitation is not for us to sit, but to follow. Not to stand, but to start walking. Not to just to be here, but to go out. That is what God and Jesus is asking us to do. So I pray that we don't just use our feet to go places, but we also need to kneel to pray for the work of mission agencies. Our work here at St. Luke's and many others as well. We should not just use our mouth, but our ears to listen to others, to listen to the residents and the people in the care home in Bupur and other opportunities, to listen to their needs. We should not just use our head in thinking about what can be done, but rather use our heart and start doing some of those things. Really, to me, we can start some very simple step. To love, to care, to visit, to bake, to write. Many opportunities we can touch the lives of others. So brothers and sisters, on this today, Mission Sunday, I'm calling you to be a missionary, and I'll talk more in other Sundays and other time to come. Today I'm thankful that we have some banners from the city mission, that St. Luke has been a very close tie with them throughout the years in terms of giving and so on. We also have the Anglican mission. They also do a lot of work, particularly overseas in the Pacific and so forth. Outside at the cloister there, on the board, there's some more information you can have a look at afterwards. There are pamphlets and so on. So this is just a start. I hope, as I mentioned earlier, the next month or two, we will touch on this whole area of mission and outreach and evangelism, and how we can be part of God's beautiful plan for bringing the good news to others. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are a missionary God. We thank you that it is through mission that we have known about the good news and that we have been redeemed. So Lord, send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can be your missionary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.